So today's garden conversation, we have a out-of-town guest. And most of you have heard about the garden conference that happened here in February. And one of our speakers for that garden conference came down from the Yukon, and his name is Chris Bartsch. Am I pronouncing that
right,
Chris?
That's right, Chris Bartsch.
And whereabouts in the Yukon are you from? Where do you live?
Well, I actually am from, I've been in the Yukon many, many times in the past, but I'm right downtown Yukon is where, I'm actually living at a place called Mount Lorne, which is about a half an hour drive outside of town.
Got
a beautiful suite at a community center there that is just perfect for,
great.
Yes.
Well, and do you do gardening there? Can you do gardening there?
Here's what happened to me. My son-in-law, about 3 years ago, said to me, in answer to my question, what about tomatoes and stuff like that? How do they grow here? Oh, you can't really grow tomatoes and stuff like that outside. they won't
germinate. That sounds familiar.
Does it sound familiar?
Yes, very.
So I didn't say anything at the time, but I actually had a little bit of experience. A couple of old Italian neighbors in my neighborhood in Kamloops, B.C., approached me one day and said, "Hey, Chris, you know anything about that, how to put heat in the ground to make plants grow?" And I said,
no,
don't really know anything about it, but I have heard of something of people doing that, and it makes all the sense in the world to me. Why? Mm-hmm. What's up? And he said, "Well, we have this greenhouse, and we'd like you to come and have a look. And we know you do that radiant floor heating stuff, and so we'd like you to come and have a look and see if you can figure something out with mm-hmm. me." Okay, so I said, "Okay, I'll drop up and have a look at your place." And they had a nice little greenhouse that was about 20 by 20 or something like that, attached to their common garage. Mm-hmm. And so I said, "Yep, you know what? I got lots of old pieces of tubing around left over from jobs that I'd done. I did it for many years." So we rigged up for them. They shoveled half of their soil and one half of their greenhouse, shoveled it up on the other side, and we put a
buried some lines.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. buried lines in that half, and then they shoveled all of that back, mm-hmm. and they shoveled the other half up on top, and put another loop in there.
How deep?
Oh, about 12 inches.
About 12 inches deep.
Case.
Okay.
I think that's what it ended up mm-hmm. being. Anyway, and they had an old hot water heater in the garage that wasn't being used, and so that got rigged up, and I got them a pump, and we rigged it up so they could circulate water through. And I went away, and they planted a garden. And I think about 3 months later, I got a phone call from what's his name? I can't remember his name. Anyway, I'll think of it mm-hmm. in a minute. I'm getting mm-hmm. old enough that I'm losing some. Anyway, he called me and he said, "Hey, Chris, you should come and have a look at the greenhouse." I said, "I'll be right over." And so, and they had plants in there that were, 7 to 8 feet
wow.
high, and they had loaded with tomatoes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they were wonderful tomatoes. And I didn't really pick up on doing anything about it. It was just something that happened for these two old Italian friends, mm-hmm. and it just was just fun. So anyway, my son-in-law said, "No," this is years later, my son-in-law said, "No, they don't grow here. The ground's too cold." And my mind clicked in. So my friend and I, Bradley and I, he found a bunch of timbers and stuff right there at the place. They were just lying around. They weren't used. So he made a garden area there that was 40 feet long and 6 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
With big timbers that were there.
Kind of a raised bed sort of thing.
Just a place to put. And we got some soil. The center themselves took an interest in it. And they shared in buying some soil from the city of Whitehorse. Loaded this garden up, and Bradley planted it. And I turned on the solar collector. I had made a solar collector.
And buried the lines.
And buried the lines, uh-huh. all the tubing, everything was in, and Bradley planted the garden. And lo and behold, in virtually no time at all, everything had come to starting to blast out of the ground. And Bradley and I were eating out of the garden 5 weeks later.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we knew something was up. But at the same time, I had made another little collector. Am I to ramble on?
Ramble on.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you some questions about that collector.
Yes. Okay. So I had another neighbor. Her name is Joy Morgan. And I asked her. She and I were very good friends. She was a bit disabled, and I gave her rides downtown. I said, "Hey, Joy, would you like to have some tomatoes, a little tomato garden in front?" "Yes, I would," she said. So I made another loop in the ground, and we got some of the same soil and put them in, put tomatoes in. I put in peppers, I put in tomatoes, I put in
So what month cucumbers. Was this? Was this like May when you were planting, the typical time of planting in May?
Yeah, well, I was actually getting late because it was May. It was into June somewhere, I think. It was quite late. But again, the tomato plants that I bought, one plant got to be 8.5 feet high.
Wow.
It got out of control. I had to cut the top of it off, top 3 feet of it off, just to maintain the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was right against her deck outside of her, south side of her house. So that's what happened. And some of the tomatoes got to be enormous.
So I think my experience with tomatoes as well is that the roots is really what needs to be kept warm.
Absolutely.
It's not the plant itself. It's the roots.
It's the roots.
So that's what you have captured, you know, you have taken off on with this idea is just getting those roots a few degrees. You're not talking about heating it to a high temperature.
It's just a few degrees. You have to control your temperature. You have to watch what you're doing, right? And it took virtually no time at all to bring the ground temperature from 50 degrees up to 70.
Wow. And so you use a pump, right, for circulating the water.
It's a tiny little circulation pump. They call it a circ pump, and it's a tiny little thing that just keeps whistling the water around. It's just one, you load it up once, it's no pressure on it.
And that's run with the solar power as well.
It's just a solar energy.
It's all solar, so the reason I'm asking that is for people who have a raised bed or garden away from their house, away from electricity, this is an option for them as
well. It's an option, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's an option in the North Country here that is really very usable because the sun is just starting to come up at the right time.
At the right time.
It's getting higher and higher in the sky. And if you can turn things on early, much earlier than we did in those two cases. So there's all kinds of just really good ideas to do this. And so we're putting some sunshine underground. Yes.
Well, and kind of concentrating that sunshine. The ground is always getting sunshine, but this is concentrating the heat.
It's concentrated and sent underground.
You're doing that with, I think I remember you saying that it's just a simple little old roofing panel, right? Corrugated roofing panel?
Yes.
And you run tubes in that?
It's a very, very simple solar collector. What I'm going to show you is pictures. I couldn't bring one over because I couldn't get it into my vehicle. And I'd have to bring a trailer, and there's no way I was going to bring a trailer over here
middle
this
of
time
winter.
Of the year. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, we'll just, I'll take some photos and the people get the right idea. The idea really is, in my mind, is that anybody could build a relatively straightforward and simple little solar collector. And there may be all kinds of other ideas for doing it besides what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just took piping and put it into these grooves in the panels. It's some galvanized iron panels. I painted it black and painted the black tubing in every one of these little dips in the panel. There's a piece of pipe, there's a header at the top and a header at the bottom, and you're just circulating water through that black panel. Yes. And you could even use to run the little pump. I mean, that little pump, you could probably run it for a whole month for $3 or something. Mm-hmm. They just don't use a whole lot of energy. So, but you could actually in other places, you could use little pumps that run on 12-volt batteries, and you just use a 12-volt collector to provide motion.
So now, does that pump run 24 hours a day? Or do you have it on sometimes?
It really needs to be. We didn't have to. You only run it. Well, you can almost run it in the North Country. You can almost run it 24 mm-hmm. hours a day if you want that much heat. But typically, you don't really need that much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a nifty little idea for really making plants grow. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. quite amazing what mm-hmm. takes place.
Yeah.
And if you're using free, and sunshine is mm-hmm. free.
That's what I like about it is that it's a low-cost thing. You can certainly see that there's really high-tech ways of doing this greenhouses and whatnot. But for us ordinary gardeners, it kind of seems far-fetched.
I think other people will come up with other kinds of ideas mm-hmm. for doing it. I did it sort of thinking, well, maybe there's even a commercial thing to kind of do here mm-hmm. using relatively inexpensive mm-hmm. stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To do what I did, it's fairly labor-intensive, hooking all these pipes together. Mm-hmm. If you're mm-hmm. using copper, you got to sweat it together with you know, solder and all. Mm-hmm. But I've done it here with some just ordinary plastic.
The PEX tubing, you said?
Well, the PEX tubing goes underground, but it's
what's underground.
Just PVC tubing to do the bit of plumbing stuff that mm-hmm. is required.
On the panel itself.
Then. Yes, on the panel.
So let me, we've only got a few minutes left. So when it comes, the water circulates around this panel, it's got mm-hmm. a little pump, and then you run it through PEX tubing, is that what you
run it through? PEX tubing.
How much tubing?
Whatever the size of your garden you need it. I sort of was spacing it about 8 inches.
About every eight inches. And about a foot deep? Is that what you've settled on?
I've been making it a little less, like
little
10
less,
inches.
10 inches, okay.
And then put 10 inches of good soil on top of
it.
Uh-huh. But it's amazing what takes place. It really mm-hmm. is.
Things
germinate really quickly, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity there to do. Well, food security is a major issue.
Right, and allowing us to grow some of those plants like tomatoes and cucumbers and some of those what I call marginal plants here that, yes, you can get them to grow, but it takes a little bit.
Yes.
And this is a pretty low-tech, easy, maybe not easy to make it, but once you get it made, then it's an easy thing.
Made, And the way I've been doing it is you're not circulating anything through the tubing like, any of the antifreeze.
Glycols or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain old water.
Just run water through and then blow it all out when the fall comes. Yeah. Just mm-hmm. get an air thing and blow it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
It's so simple and so clean. I think it's really a great idea. I think it has all kinds of options here in the North Country.
Yeah, I like the idea that you are just putting the idea out there and saying, go for it.
Yeah, go for it. Everybody
figure it out.
Somebody might come along, and I am actually still entertaining that. You know, I've got friends that say, let's make these things.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I haven't figured out quite the exact one that we should mm-hmm, make anyway.
Right.
I mean, you could possibly take rolls of black old EPDM or whatever the tubing is.
It's a polyurethane, I think,
black stuff. Mm-hmm. You could put rolls of it, wind it on the wall of your south side of your house or whatever and send some sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
there's all kinds of options
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. Right. And each, like we are always saying on this show, is that every garden has a unique, different situation because, they're all different. And so I'm hoping that this idea will spark a seed and plant a seed in somebody's brain.
It definitely has been resonating, mm-hmm. I told you. CBC Canada.
I know, that's how we learned about you.
Oh, did you through CBC Canada?
It was through CBC News Report, so it even comes down here into the U.S.
I went to a home show, the last home show of the year last year, and the Agricultural Association invited me to come down and show my collector and, just gastro pictures. And so about 30 people, 35 people, mm-hmm. I think, actually came down to see me. And so anyway, two of them were interviewers from the two newspapers. And one of them immediately, he spent quite a bit of time with me there, and he sent it to, I got a call the next day, to Yellowknife. And young lady said, Chris, That's a really neat story. Can we?
Well, it's important for us people who live up in the North Country. We're always trying to figure out ways to do it. So.
And the next day, I got another phone call from CBC Canada in Winnipeg, and she said, Chris, that's it's a good story.
And the next day, you get a call from Mardell at the Garden Conference.
Yes, almost the next day. Yeah, so here I am.
So our time is up, and I just want to say thanks. Thanks so much for coming down, and thanks for coming on the radio and sharing this idea with a few more people that couldn't get to the conference and
thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me over. I'm enjoying everybody here that I'm doing what I'm doing.
All right. Thank you.